The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Today we gather in person in public worship of Almighty God inside Marsh Chapel to sing together the hymns of faith. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. With pride and joy, we welcome to our pulpit this morning Dr. Jessica Chica, University Chaplain for International Students, who will be ordained today at 3 p.m. here in Marsh Chapel. All are welcome to attend. We particularly greet and welcome her parents and family on this happy occasion. And we invite your support and responses. Please note possibilities for ministry and pastoral care available on our website, including the many activities Sunday through Friday available this week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May we pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Well, beloved, on this beautiful, sun-dappled morning, we pause for our weekly moment of confession as the choir guides us. And we remember just now the encouragement of Scripture. Pray at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication, supplication for all the saints. In supplication for all, we confess our sin and recognize our need for contrition, confession, and lament, awaiting the peace and pardon of Almighty God, trusting in the peace and pardon of Almighty God. Let us pray. Hear good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Please join me in reading responsively verses from Psalm 34 with the antiphon. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. And now, beloved, rise up in body as you are able, but certainly in heart, for the singing of the Gloria and the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 35 and 41 through 51. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise up that person on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Good morning. Can I just say how amazing it is to be here in front of people delivering a sermon today? This year has been so difficult, and even though we managed ways to stay connected through radio and Zoom, distanced outdoor in-person services in the freezing cold, and email, nothing compares to the strength and support of physically being together. In the 3 weeks that we have been back indoors, in person, here at Marsh, I have been so happy to see your faces, although masked, and to hear your wonderful voices. Don't get me wrong, recording your sermon ahead of time has its advantages, like starting over if you mess up at the beginning, but nothing compares to being here with you in community praising God. It's such a blessing on what is a very important day for me. More on that later. A few years ago, actually, I think it may have been a decade or more at this point, the candy bar Snickers had a commercial campaign that featured Betty White. You may remember this. She was depicted playing a game of touch football with much younger men, and she ends up getting tackled into a giant mud puddle. When she gets grief from the other players for not playing to her potential, she lashes out at them. And then another woman, presumably the partner of the person Betty White is supposed to be depicting, hands her a candy bar and says, "Eat a Snickers." Betty White then transforms into a younger man who says he's now feeling much better and goes off to play more football. The tagline was, "You're not you when you're hungry." Maybe some of us have experienced being so hungry that we end up in a bad mood, sometimes lashing out at others. Your hunger becomes so great that even the smallest inconvenience becomes insurmountable. I'm sure some of us are familiar with the term hangry, a portmanteau of the words hungry and angry. As a person who struggles with low blood sugar at times, I certainly know that I have embodied this hangry position, and I am certainly not myself when I do. Earlier this year, there was a meme going around my clergy friend's circle discussing the passage from 1 Kings today. The meme is actually a tweet from Joy Clarkson, who is a PhD candidate in theology at St. Andrew's University. It stated, "Remember that one time in the Bible when Elijah was like, 'God, I'm so mad, I want to die.' So God said, 'Here's some food, why don't you have a nap?' So Elijah slept and ate and decided things weren't so bad. Never underestimate the power of a snack and a nap." Of course, this is an oversimplification of the story, but we get the point, right? Elijah's story is relatable because we all know that feeling, getting hangry or overwhelmed, or even just not acting like ourselves when things are not going the way we planned. We get moody. We argue with others. We hyperbolize and say, "I could just die." The bottom line is, we just want whatever it is to be over. We've all had times when things seem so impossible around us that we want to throw up our hands and say to God, "Why? Why is this happening?" Some of those times may have even come up in the past year, or even the past weeks, with the surge of the Delta variant, returning to school or work, and witnessing national and global news that leaves us at a loss for words. Our conversations with God often come in these moments of exasperation as we grasp for clarity. My friends who shared the meme about Elijah's breakdown were those who had endured a year of upended plans with their religious communities and faced continued situations of injustice throughout the world. They too were and continue to be frustrated in what they can and cannot do for others to serve them in a way that does not completely deplete them of their own energy supply. Many of them were reaching a point of burnout. A snack and a nap certainly are not going to fix all of the world's problems. But when we have our basic needs met, it's easier to cope with extenuating circumstances. We cannot serve others or ourselves if we are running low on energy. Taking care of our needs can also help us focus on who and what supports us. For my clergy friends, remembering that it is okay and even encouraged by God to take care of themselves to better serve others was much needed. A silly internet meme resulted in a moment of reflection on God's presence and guidance in maintaining one's ability to continue the difficult work of seeking out justice in the world. In times of stress, remembering to drink, eat, and sometimes even just breathe can help us find grounding. Elijah separates himself from his community to express his frustration and ultimately finds that God continues to support him by providing him with his essential needs so that he can reset and return to his community. He can then go on to continue his important work as a prophet and challenging the actions of King Ahab and the cruelty shown to the people of Israel. God's constant presence through the care shown to Elijah when he is at his lowest point enables Elijah to remember that God continues to support him, even in his darkest moments. Elijah has physical hunger, yes, but he also has a spiritual hunger that needs to be fulfilled. The theme of the sustaining presence of God in the world is carried through in today's gospel message. Jesus proclaims to the people, including the religious authorities, that he is the bread of life, and whoever comes to him will never be hungry. Some may read this as a message meant to exclude, a condemnation of those who are not a part of Jesus' movement. But, as one commentator put it, this is not a message of condemnation, but of commendation. It is an invitation to people to come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus creates a continuum between his Jewish heritage and the new message of what God offers to humanity. The Israelites relied on manna from heaven while they wandered the desert with Moses for 40 years, further establishing their trust in God. This new form of manna from heaven, through the bread of life, expands God's covenant with humanity in establishing eternal life. It provides spiritual nourishment to all who come to receive it. In our Christian context, we immediately connect Jesus' claim of being the bread of life for those who hunger and the living waters for those who thirst with our sacraments. Holy Communion allows us to eat and drink as Christ has instructed us in his remembrance. Sharing together as a community and partaking in the bread and wine physically binds us to the reality of Christ's love. As a central part of worship, the Lord's Supper presents an opportunity for us as the congregation to share in the intimate act of eating and drinking together. Temporally and spatially, this act also connects us with the centuries of Christians throughout the world who have shared in this sacrament. Creating community around the table is meaningful because it recognizes the need to be spiritually and physically sustained in order to serve God. One thing that I appreciate most about the Lutheran understanding of the Lord's Supper is the acknowledgement of the mystery that surrounds it. We take Jesus at his word when he states that the bread and the wine are his body and blood. Our faith is bolstered by the fact that we continue to receive this mystery. Even if we believe we are unworthy to accept God's grace, it is still given to us through the promise found in Holy Communion. Our consciences are eased by the reality that there is nothing we need to do to earn this means of grace from God, but that it is given to us freely. Here at Marsh Chapel, last week we had our first experience with Holy Communion together in the same space after 18 months of deprivation. Communion did not happen in our traditional way of intinction. We used pre-packaged communion kits rather than receiving the bread and wine from one another. While we may have fumbled to get the plastic wrappers off of our wafers or carefully pulled back the foil on our cup of grape juice so not to spill it on our clothes, we still heard the words of institution spoken and received the mystery of the sacrament together. It was still a special moment filled with God's stated presence here with us, joining us together. Eating and drinking together has been something many of us have missed in these days of isolation and social distancing. Avoiding having a meal around others has been an essential part of maintaining our physical health in the past year. But finding a way to still partake in this sacrament in a COVID-safe way has brought back spiritual nourishment for us. Holy Communion has played a pivotal role in my own sense of vocation and call. Growing up as a pastor's kid, I only infrequently encountered other ministers in my youth. My primary clergy person was also my dad. I witnessed my father celebrating communion almost every week in the churches he served. However, when you're a PK, a pastor's kid, your connection with the church can be somewhat challenging. If your pastor is your parent, it's hard not to see their vocation as just a job or really ever understand what it is that they do. For some PKs, it causes them to develop some uneasiness around considering ministry as a potential vocation. That's why when I went off to the Boston University School of Theology after college, I made it very clear that I was not going to be a pastor. I figured my studies of religion and theology were enough to feed my spirituality. I had stopped regularly attending church in college, and I didn't feel any sort of drive to return, even when surrounded by those who were seeking out ministry as their vocation. In 2011, things changed. My mother was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a blood cancer that originates in the bone marrow and affects the white blood cells. Fortunately, she was diagnosed early and had access to cutting-edge care at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital, which has oncologists who specialize in this type of cancer. The prospect of a loved one, or even yourself, going through cancer treatment is terrifying, however. As I watched at a distance from Boston while she went through chemo, losing weight and eventually her hair, it was hard not to question why. Why was this happening? Like Elijah yelling at God in his frustration, there were many times when I found myself angry with God. My family trusted the doctors who were sure at the very least her disease would be manageable in the future, but nonetheless, it was scary in the moment. I finally got to visit my mom after she had her largest dose of chemo and her own treated stem cells transplanted into her body, resulting in a 17-day long stay at the hospital from which she had just been released. My parents' minister, the minister of the church to which my family belonged while my dad served as an interim minister for many years, came to my parents' house to give her communion. I had never experienced communion at home before, which seems like a silly thing to say in today's context when many of us have now taken part in communion services over Zoom. For me, communion was always a full church experience. I connected it with being in front of the altar and surrounded by others. Sure, I knew that my dad would go out and give communion to those who were too sick or homebound, but I never experienced it firsthand, let alone from another minister. My mom, dad, and I sat in the living room as Pastor Sharkey unpacked his communion kit and asked my mom about how she was doing, comforting her in the challenges she now faced in her recovery. He went on to offer each of us communion, stating the words of institution and placing the wafers in our hands, followed by small cups of wine. Although I had heard the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, many, many times before, in that specific moment, I felt a connection so much deeper than anything I had ever experienced. I felt spiritually fed. I felt supported by God. I knew that God was there to help us get through this moment. It wasn't that my experiences in the church prior to this were not spiritual or meaningful, but it helped me to see and understand ministry in a different light. I knew that ministry involved the care of others in the most difficult of times, but I don't think I ever truly understood what it meant to those who were hurting until I experienced it myself. As someone who has innately sought to help others in whatever jobs I take on, perhaps because of my upbringing, I began to see ministry as a truly viable option for my future. When the opportunity to serve as the Lutheran campus minister here at BU arose after this experience, I jumped at the chance to enter into the beginning steps of a long process of discernment to pursue becoming a minister of word and sacrament. Throughout my journey of candidacy, I have continued to encounter moments of God's sustaining presence, keeping me spiritually fed. Getting to know the ins and outs of chaplaincy from my colleagues, learning about the experiences of my students, and providing care for others has helped me grow in my vocation. The road has not always been easy. It has certainly been long. And there were times when I had those moments with God questioning why I had to go through what I was going through. I found a community of people who support and care for me, cheering me on as I hit each milestone and encouraging me when things didn't go as planned. Through it all, I felt God's presence with me in this community. And now, this afternoon, for the first time ever, I will preside at the table for Holy Communion at my ordination service. I can't put into words what that moment will mean to me. While, again, it won't necessarily be the experience I thought it would because of COVID, being able to help direct the congregation that will gather in this sanctuary to the mystery of God's grace brings my heart joy. Perhaps someone will also find comfort or strength in the words of institution, being spiritually fed through the bread of life and the living waters. God stands with us in our hardest moments. When we yell out in our frustration, hoping for something better, God hears us. God's constant presence reminds us that we are not alone. We gather together in community with one another to find the strength to continue through whatever challenges we might face. Christ invites us to partake of the bread of life to have our hunger and thirst perpetually satisfied. We are physically and spiritually fed through Holy Communion, hearing the word proclaimed and receiving the body and blood of Christ given for each one of us. We are divinely sustained as a community. As the psalmist states, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God." Amen.
We now come to the time in our service when we turn our hearts and minds to prayer and lift up our lives and ourselves to God. Please assume an attitude and posture of prayer, either by remaining seated, standing, kneeling, or coming to the communion rail as we sing together our call to prayer, "Lead Me, Lord."
Thank you.
Father, we pray for your Holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacrament. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us with gladness present the offerings and oblations of our life and labor to the Lord.
Thank you.
Heavenly God, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you, but we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory. Amen.
And now, beloved, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.